that when people tries to take your hope away, that's dark. And we know in times past that that has happened to a lot of people in this world. So our hope is it lies in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen. And also, if you're tuning in for the first time, we do have a website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. I know that's a mouthful, but it does tell you who we are and what we how we study the Bible. We are dispensationalists. We're not a part of the denomination and all. So you can go there if you'd like to donate towards the ministry. There's a donate button there. I know many people's asked me about their offerings, you know, and that type of thing. But we know we can't get together, and we have a basket at church. We don't pass the plate, but you do pass the basket going and coming as you go to your seat. Also, a quick announcement. We are working on maybe redoing our website, and a great saint in Florida is starting to help us with this. So keep that in mind as we change up some things there. Once again, keep everybody in thought and prayer. Keep this ministry in thought and prayer. Keep the other Mid-Acts Dispensational Churches in thought and prayer as we all are struggling to meet. But yet, this message still goes out, guys. And you're not going to put a dampener on a message. For years and years and years, even in the dark ages, you'll see that this truth was there. It kept growing and growing, and now it still continues to grow. So you're not going to put a lid on what the message that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Be turning the book of Daniel. We're in lesson 53, and I'll open up in a word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the things that's going around us, the sicknesses, the financial difficulties, the economy, just life in general, it seems like sometimes there's no end. But we know if our focus is on the heavenly places versus the earthly places, what a joy that is. And us as Bible believers should, and without a doubt, understand the times that we're in. And we appreciate your Word of God that we have. We appreciate the Bible that we have. And Lord, I appreciate each and everybody that's tuning in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Daniel chapter 9. We have finished the last 8 chapters of the book of Daniel. And I hope that it's starting to sink in a little bit what Daniel was doing in the times of the Gentiles and in captivity. And this lesson here, Daniel chapter 9, is going to be the chapter about the Jewish timetable. And they have a timetable, and it's one of the most important chapters in the prophetic program. And when you hear the term, if you will, 70th week of Daniel, it is in this chapter 9 that we're in. And in order to understand the Jewish timeline and the prophecy schedules, you have to understand Daniel chapter 9. So we may go fast, we may go slow, but the thing is, we got between now and the catching away, the rapture, to get through Daniel. Now, we do know that we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. We do know that all the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to you. And that's very, very important to understand when you're a dispensationalist Bible believer, that you understand there's certain books that you have in your Bible that pertains to you, your mail, versus the whole Bible. Now, I know people pick and choose his verses out there, and God said this, and they'll try to apply it, especially in the days that we are today. It doesn't seem too healthy out there that to being a Bible believer or that type of thing. But just remember that in Daniel chapter 9, it will lay out the goals and the intent and how it will be achieved. Now, Daniel's way over here. Okay, he's in captivity, and we're going to look at some things why they are in captivity. But he's prophesying a time over here. Okay? Not the time that we live in the dispensation of grace of God today. And we may look in that. But be turning to Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now notice that Daniel learns as he studies the Bible that the captivity is going to last a period of 70 years. And he learns the number of the years by studying the book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, what do you know about him? Jeremiah was a prophet, wasn't he? In the land of around Jerusalem. And prior to the Babylonian captivity. So he was there prophesying what God was going to do. Now, what Jeremiah did, he had mentioned and said that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come into Jerusalem and he's going to control them. Basically, he's going to clean their plow, if you will. And many of the prophets there that would prophesize things said, no, he isn't. He's looking at Jeremiah. No, he isn't. They're talking about Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. Don't listen to him. That type of thing. But Nebuchadnezzar comes, and Jeremiah says, I told you he was coming. But, you know, did he listen to him? And now that he's got them. And then Nebuchadnezzar carries them away to captivity, and the false prophet says, God's not going to leave you there long. He's going to bring you back in the land that he promised you and all that stuff. But Jeremiah says, listen, God is going to leave you there for a while. And the false prophets, you know, they said, no, he's not. No, he's not. And so they throw him in jail and that type of thing. And just to get rid of what they called him a troublemaker. And God tells Jeremiah to tell the people in captivity that they are going to be there for 70 years. So let me ask you something. If you go into captivity at 50 years old, are you coming out alive? No, you're not coming out alive. So it's your grandchildren will come out. Or your kids and all that stuff. That's the information that God gave Jeremiah. And it's very, very important to understand that. Because listen, here's God's prophet telling the nation Israel, God spoke to Jeremiah and told him to say some things. And people said, no, he didn't. You know, that type of thing. But Daniel had the book of Jeremiah and some other books in his possessions. You know, he had at the time the whole old canon of scriptures. And he had books available to him. He had the book of Genesis and Exodus. He had Deuteronomy, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, Kings. He had them all. Job. And thank you. And, you know, most of the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. He had the word of God. Daniel did. And he had Jeremiah. And he might, you know, probably Ezekiel, that type of thing, the prophets, because they're there in that captivity. And one thing you got to remember, he had all these prophets and all that was written up to that time. He had the word of God, guys. He had copies of the word of God. And God had written his word and collected them together. And Daniel's reading them and studying them. And you know, God preserves, this is a good lesson, because God preserves his word through copies of accurate, reliable copies of his word. We don't have his original word to God today. You don't have the Ten Commandments that Moses, God wrote with his fingers. You know, you don't have those. I know you might have pictures of them and, you know, around courthouses and stuff like that, but that ain't the originals. So we have to rely on copies. God is interested in the copies that are made, that they're accurate. I remember in Jeremiah, if you think about that king that took a penknife and cut out the word of God and throwed it in the fire. And God told Jeremiah, said, go and write it all over again, basically, and add to it. So what happened to the originals?
They're gone.
So today we have a copy of God's Word in the English language known as the King James Bible. But people had the Word of God all over that territory. Very interesting that when Daniel had it in captivity in Babylon, and then one of the generals of Nebuchadnezzar's army who came down in a book of Jeremiah from Babylon to Jerusalem to take away the captive tells the Jews there that it was going to happen to them according to what Moses wrote down in Leviticus chapter 26. And here's a heathen general that wasn't, you know, it's saved, Jew that time, from Babylon, who knows what the Word of God says. So the Word of God has went out throughout the whole world at that time. Hey, the Word of God is out throughout the whole world today. Unbelievable. Listen, we today also have the written Word of God. We have the completed canon of Scriptures, guys, and it's put in order, and it takes us through two programs and three divisions. The two programs, in the beginning, very first verse in your Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. It don't say heavens like some of your Bible version says. Heavens came on over in chapter 2 and 3, that time period. But he created the heaven and earth. God made a distinction between heaven and earth. Okay? And that, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, that focus is primarily through the Israel, through the earth. That's a prophetic program. That's what we call the prophecy program. I tell you this right quick. I'm looking at my lovely wife on the backside, and I think Tom, he's usually Tom and Barb, and them's usually on the front page, Jim, Walt, Tom, Barb, Jerry, and then front row, sorry. And Tom said, it must be a little weird looking, just looking at Sherry, you know. And I said, it is, because I had to focus on the camera sometimes. But every once in a while, I go like this just to see her reaction. Because when you're up here, you can see how people react to some things. So I can't see you, but you can see me. So, hello. But anyway, the prophecy program, and from Acts chapter 9 all the way through over to Philemon, it's the mystery program. That's the twofold purpose in God's program. And then you have three divisions. Times past, that's Genesis through Malachi, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the way, are still in times past. That's not the New Testament. Times past, Romans through Philemon, it's but now, what God is doing right now. And then you have Hebrews through Revelation, that in ages to come. Okay, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 here, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 right here. But the thing, what you need to look at as Bible believers to know that, and we want to be Bible believers, guys. We don't want to be Bible packers. You just don't want to carry your Bible around, pull up in the driveway, unscrew your head, put it in the glove box and walk into the church, because you ain't going to need it. Most churches, that preacher's going to do your thinking for you. That's not how God designed us. You think Daniel was that way? Not a chance. You think Paul the apostle was that way? Not a chance. You think Moses was that way? Not a chance. You think when we're raptured out of here, and there's only a small remnant of people that believes the Bible the way we believe, by the way, you know, So that's why it's very, very important to understand how you're saved today. You trust Christ, died for your sins, buried and rose again. You're saved. Then you come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we teach at Dispensational Bible Church, the Word of Truth. But you don't want to be a Bible packer. We want to be as instructed in 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing a word of truth. That's the only verse in your Bible that tells you to do that. But we also know that when we look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 a little bit, Daniel understood by the books. Okay? He was studying the books. But anyway, notice in Jeremiah, hold your finger in Daniel, get Jeremiah chapter 25. In Jeremiah chapter 25, let's talk about Jeremiah a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 25. verse 8, you're in Daniel, so it's back there. You're in that same area. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. You know what he's going to do here? He's going to wipe them out. Okay? He's just going to take care of them. Verse 11. And this whole land shall be desolate, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king Babylon for how many years?
70.
70 years. How many?
70.
Daniel studied that. So Daniel's over in captivity, and his 70 years is coming up. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29 for a second. Jeremiah chapter 29. And the false prophets. You think they had false prophets back then? Yes. There's false prophets today. Preachers. There are all kinds of things today, false. You know, we make fun of the things like fake news. They had fake news back then. They really did. But look, the false prophet had told Israel that God was going to get them out of captivity sometime soon, and there wasn't really nothing to worry about. Okay? You heard that before. God tells Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which was carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So you got that, right? God tells them write letter, and that God told them he's going to Babylon, and they're going to be there for a while. And he said to tell them not to believe these people that comes along and prophesies these lies. See, this ain't nothing new, guys, where people's out there telling you lies about the Word of God. It's nothing new. And look at verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your, what's that word?
Diviners.
That's soothsayers, that's liars, that be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye have caused to be dreamed. In other words, there's guys coming and telling them something, but Jeremiah's saying, don't believe them. Don't believe them. You know, I think of my brothers, and even sisters sometimes, the brethren, are sharing with you today what the Word of God says about hell, about how to be saved? How were you going to be placed? You don't want to listen to it. You don't want to. And they're using the Word of God. They're not using opinions. That's why it's very, very important when you share the Word of God, you share stuff about salvation, you use the Word of God. And you should have enough verses inside of you that you can tell people what how to be saved today and what's going on in the world today. Very, very important. Verse 9. But getting back to second, those prophets and diviners and stuff, they're having dreams. And they're telling them, this is what God's telling me to do. Don't believe that. Listen, God don't speak outside his word today, guys. The blank pages in the back of your book are not for more revelations. He spoke his word. This is how he speaks today. It's not through circumstances. We talked about that over and over and over. And if you can come to understanding what God is saying today in the dispensation of grace, it's going to help you with what's going on in the world today. Now, your minds may still be like, oh my gosh, I don't understand, but neither I understand. But what I'm trying to say is you know what to do and not get emotionally drawn to some things. Verse 9, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return in this place. So he did promise them, right? You think God lies?
No.
You know one thing God cannot do? He cannot lie. He will tell you the truth. And we may not like it. We may fight about it. Well, that's what God said. Whether you like it or not, you know, His word is the final authority, guys, in the whole universe. There's absolutely no reason that those people should believe for one minute that they're going to get out of Babylon in less than 70 years. You know, one thing about, I have to share this with you. One thing about the mystery program we live in, the dispensation of grace. You know, Paul don't tell you a time period when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take you out of here. And he died almost 2,000 years ago. It does, you know, Lord, come quickly. Amen. You know, we pray for that. But Paul don't tell you when the catching away is going to take place. So you got to be ready. You hear the word of God, okay? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And you hear that, it quickens you. You believe what he did at Calvary, he saves you. And then you're ready positioned. We use Reveille, 5 o'clock in the morning, if you was in the military, that was, it got you out there, and you was in a ready state all day long. Until 9 o'clock at night, that taps played, and it puts you to sleep, time to go to bed. But we ain't heard that taps. You're in a ready state right now in the dispensation of grace to be ready and waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's soldier terms out there, and Daniel knew this stuff. Look, he comes on, so God made it clear in Daniel chapter 9 to study those books in Jeremiah. I know I mix a little bit what's going on today and what Daniel, but it seems like it's the right time. Because you can know what Daniel was studying. And once again, Daniel didn't know about this dispensation of grace we live in, okay? He only knew what this time period and what's happening over there. That's the focus in Daniel's book right now. It's this time period that the Jews are going to go through. And he comes to studying by Jeremiah, and no doubt he had 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and Leviticus chapter 26. And this is the issue about the captivity are laid out there. And the issues that there has to do with the fact that God is going to put his people down in Babylonian captivity. Notice I said his people. See, a lot of people want to make you a part of that Jewish remnant today and saying you're going through tribulations, and you're not. The tribulation is to the Jews, to the Hebrew, for what they had done. And that's why Daniel chapter 9 is a Leviticus, and we're going to look at a Leviticus 26 in a minute, is the fifth course of judgment on them. So the issue is there. And the issue is they're going to be in captivity, and they're going to be there for 70 years. Excuse me. Now, so Daniel, go to Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel studies and he sees that they're going to be there for 70 years. Now you remember Daniel was a young child there, right, when he went in there. Now he's an old age elderly man. He's way up in years. And you notice in Daniel chapter 9 verse 2 it says, Daniel understood by the books the number of the years. He has the Bible in his hands and he's studying it. And you need to know that he, once again, he's a Bible student. You know, he's a prophet, but he's also a Bible student. And he can understand by studying the Word of God what God what program he was in. Should give us a little message, a lesson there, that you, like I said before, you as a Bible student should understand what dispensation you're in, what age that you're in. Notice, once again, in Daniel 9, verse 1. In the year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now go, hold your finger there and go back to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30. In the night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about, what, 62 years old. Now this is the reference. In Daniel chapter 9, he says that Darius was made king of the Chaldeans. That's when he took the kingdom. And Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. I know we already went over this, but you need to know some things. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no what? Damage. Now, chapter 6, what happens to Daniel in chapter 6? You remember? Okay, and what happened to him, though? You remember what happened to him? He gets cast into the den of lions. Okay? That's where he's at in chapter 6. Well, this king comes in and sets these princesses over there, and they get jealous of him. And they cast them in the den of lions. And what he's dealing with, this is the same time period that Daniel was cast in a den of lions, chapter 6. And then when he gets the information that is given to him in chapter 9. And that's the same year. It is the first year of Darius. It is the year of the tremendous testing, trials, troubles, pressure in Daniel's life. Wouldn't you think? He's doing what God told him to do. He's over there, and they elevate him in this position, his kingdom. And next thing you know, he's in the den of lions. Mm-hmm. Listen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You see what Daniel's doing in chapter 9? Mm-hmm. You see him what?
Praying.
And what else? He has his Bible. Okay, he's studying his Bible and he's praying. Many of you do that. Praise God, hallelujah. You study the Bible and you pray. You study the Bible and you pray. And Daniel's doing something that every believer in every age should be doing. You know, the very things that's going on today in this year 2020. The wars, the COVID-19, economy, the one world globalization of people, if you will. You name it, you claim it, that type of thing. We need to be in His Word and in prayer. Now, I know many of us have Facebook stuff. And we post and repost things. And one thing that I used to get frustrated too, guys. What people would say, what people would do, how they would attack you and all. And, you know, I'm going to say this with love. I know Facebook is your Facebook. And the information you put out there is one thing. So, you know, we should be aware of the information that we're looking at all. But you don't trust false prophets. You don't trust non-believers to tell you something in the Word of God. So just keep that in mind. And the thing is, stop listening to the corruption of media. It's all weekend I didn't turn that news at all. Because you know something? I'm going to tell you something. I have satellite TV in my satellite radio in my truck. There's 16 news channels right in a row. You know how many is, let's say, out of those 16 are pro I don't say Trump, but current administration. You know how many? Out of 16. And I listen to all them other ones sometimes, and it's really sickening. Because you know what? The name of the soothsayers, the name of the false prophets in the old days of the Bible are still around today. So that's why I said at the beginning, nothing surprises me in man. Nothing surprises me. Okay? But the thing is, we are to pray for every administration. We are praying, Romans 13 tells, pray for our government. It may be hard for some of us. We may be thinking we're being duped, if you will. But we need to pray for them. And just like Daniel could understand and got the strength to do what he did in chapter 6 in the lion's den, he prayed and he studied the word of God. That's where we should be focused. I know it's hard. You know, I've been out there on the road from day one through all this stuff, and it's hard, you know. And you just got to keep focus. You know, you got a wife and you got a family and you want to get back to them. And once you get into your little area, it seems like you can breathe. You can relax. But we should not give up focus of who we are out there in that dark world. Amen? And Daniel is a type of that tribulation saint that goes through that testing and facing the adversary in the tribulation. We studied that. Daniel is doing that. Daniel is that little remnant that's going to go right over here and face that Antichrist. And Daniel chapter 9 is that type, that believing remnant that confesses their sins, that studies their Bible, and have understanding and so forth. And we'll see more of that when we get in chapter 11. Now look, he is in the Word, and he is in prayer. He has been studying, and he has found out that in 70 years is just about to be over. And they're just in the Media Persia Empire. You remember the image, Babylon, the image of the man. And he knows that the image of chapter 2 is not nearly over. And yet 70 years is coming to the end. And a time of restoration of the kingdom is at hand. And a time that they're going back into Jerusalem according to prophets and prophets are at hand. So if Daniel had that vision of that man, that image, and he's just here in Media Persia in 70 years, there's a lot more time periods going to go by. Okay? That's why I said, we're still in the times of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus Christ is not on the ruling, reigning in the kingdom on earth. Where is he? He's in royal exile. The world rejected him. God so loved the world. God so loved the system that he created for to obey him that he died for that, and people didn't want that. And Daniel understood that this is a coming, and yet he also understands that all of that image and the things in chapter 7 and 8 that we went over in his understanding has not happened yet. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. We'll go a little bit further, guys. Thank you for your time so far. Hope it's making sense to some people, because this can be a very hard chapter in Daniel to understand, and everybody wants to understand prophecy. Ever knows that? They'll sit there and lend you an ear, but when you start telling them some things that don't affect you in the dispensation of grace, it seems like they lose interest. But I hope this is helping you out here. Huh?
Not everybody,
yeah. A Bible student, a Bible believer. Well, stick with you. Chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, the reason he set his face unto the Lord to pray is because he had been studying the Bible and he found out some things in the Bible. Okay? If you're reading through your Bible, give attention to reading. You may not see some things as if you're studying the Bible. You know, when I first got this Bible, my wife got for me, it's got a lot of footnotes in it. and I'd be at Bible conferences or whatever, and I'd be studying the footnotes and not the verses. And I'm like, that's not right. So you have to study the verses, not the footnotes. The footnotes are from the guy who put the Bible together. You know what I mean? So you got to study the Word of God. And sometimes I still got a habit that when I go to read, I'm wanting to study. I want to connect that verse with that verse over there. And it's like, no, I can't do that. I just want to read. So I'm in a study mode all the time for some reason. That's my makeup. Notice that. Notice the order of spiritual principle here. The order is the first, he studies the Bible in verse 2. You see that? He understood the books, right? Mm-hmm. Then he prays in verse 3. And a Bible study is a thing that will quicken your spiritual life and interests. That's probably why I when I look at things, I'm studying this, but oh, that verse goes over here. And when Daniel begins to see what God's program and plan was, Daniel was in that plan. And he immediately began doing something about the situation. He didn't sit on his twiddling his thumb. Oh, woe is me. What's God's got next for me? He studied it and found that out. You can study it and find out what God's got for you today. You know God's will is today? To have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we know all men won't be saved and won't come to knowledge of truth. And we know men will be saved, never ever learning and never able to come to the truth. But one thing we can praise God about, if they're saved, praise God, hallelujah. Amen? But look, I don't mean preach at you, but I just get excited about this stuff. He immediately began setting and getting himself in a right relationship in God's plan. Listen, if you're saved today, okay, and you're still over here wandering around in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're not in the will of God. And you're not going to grow spiritually. I know that might be hard for some of you to understand, but you're not. Your spirit will not work on the basis of ignorance. So if you're ignoring what God is doing today, your inner man, your spiritual man is not going to grow. Now, you can force it and think it's going to grow. And then you get mad because God ain't giving you a Cadillac car. You know, I asked for my driveway to be paved. Just joking. At our old house. Did it get paved?
Never did.
You know, that type of thing. People pray for finances. People pray for food and wealth and health and happiness. Okay? And when they don't come, they think God's mad at them. I just wish they, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't take care of your family, you're what? Worse than an infidel. So God's got a program for us today that we just get out there, be in Him and Him in us, let Him do our thinking, and we move forward. Listen, we're going to make some decisions in our life not pleasing to God. But we live in a Galatian period where you reap what you sow. If I sow bad things, guess what? I'm going to reap bad things. If I'm putting bad things in my body constantly, you think I'm going to reap good things in my body? That's why I think it's very, very important. You know, during this time period, you know, I know, well, many of you know I do CrossFit. It ain't no secret. But the gyms are closed. And I've watched people that normally at the gym and talk. You know, you don't see them posting workouts. But there's a percentage of us that do. There's a percentage that took us a little garage downstairs or in your own room and you started working out. And that's helping me get by some of this. I don't say stress when you come. I guess it's a stress reliever. But you don't want to pick up weights. It's stressful, you know. But anyway, it is something that I'm keep working because I know your body is very, very important to God. God Himself lives in your body. You know, I know Brother Morris out there in Illinois. He's probably one of the strongest men you ever shake your hand with. You know, he'd almost break it off because he believes in a firm grip handshake. You know what I mean? And I think he's pushing 80 years old, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, Morris, I apologize. But, you know, and he just now had some hip replacement. You know, and I think that's pretty good, having 80-some years on your body and just now getting hip replacement. But you ain't slowed them down yet. You know, so anything, you need, you got the Word of God inside of you, the God Almighty that created heaven and earth, that his Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives inside of you. So you want to be able to move. You want to be able to mobile. You want to be able to run when you have to run. Enough about me. But look, they're almost at the end of captivity, and God's program is that to take them out of captivity and put them back in the land. Are they just going to wish, well, wonder what God's going to do now? You know, wonder if I'm going to get that patio upstairs with that view over the Dead Sea, you know, Lake Jordan, that type of thing. You know, no. Daniel sees where they are at in that program, and he begins to get himself right in relationship with God. Now, look, in any dispensation, I keep using this word dispensation. You'll find it in the King James Bible four times. Dispensation just means stewardship, what God is doing. We know God doesn't change. You know, when we talk about dispensation of truth, people say, well, you think God changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But the way God dealt with man has changed. He dealt with Adam. You know, Adam was a vegetarian. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. These trees for meat. Okay? Noah comes along. You catch it, you eat it. Moses come along, clean and unclean. Now, did God change?
No.
Paul comes along, says, "Give all thanks to all things." You know, do it in moderation. If you eat 13 cheeseburgers tonight, and you start going, "Oh, heart," who do you blame that on?
Yourself.
Okay, all things. There's no meat. Let no man beguile you of meat. That type of thing. Did God change? But the way he dealt with man has changed. His standard is still here, guys. But the way he, dispensation of promise. Abraham, dispensation of law. Dispensation of grace. Dispensation of kingdom. Dispensation of fullness of time. There's five of them there. Study it out. Or go to our website and look it up. We're there. But look, we begin to, you need to know, in any dispensation, you need to know who are in God's program, to know what God is doing, and then get in line with that. Okay? I know Grace churches all over the world, and a lot of them just got a handful of people. And you go down the road, there's churches 1,400 members, 1,600 members, and I'm looking at our little church, and we're in line with what God's doing today. And I'm thinking, that used to bother me. Because you, what are you thinking? Numbers. Numbers. God's never impressed with numbers, guys. God always dealt with a small remnant of people. So just keep that in mind. And I'm not worrying about, you know, having a big building and that type of thing. I'm worried about souls. I'm worried about getting the information in their soul off this book into them so they be able to understand what God is doing. And then you'll grow. You grow first, and then what? You'll be able to feed others. Mm-hmm. And Daniel begins to do it here. And when you begin to study the Word, rightly divided, the Word to understand where you are in God's program, that gives you the vitality in your Christian life. Listen, there's people comes to me and calls me up and texts me and say, thank you. I never seen this in my life. My life has changed. Especially when you come from a dead man and become alive.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing you can, you know, share that gospel. You may not understand the Word of God rightly divided, but that's okay. I always say this, right division, rightly dividing the Word of truth does not save you. It's the key to understanding what God is doing. Amen? And it will quicken your prayer life. And it will quicken your concern about lost people. That's what I was just sharing. It will quicken your interest and zeal in the spiritual things. Listen, I'm getting ready to close on this. In 92, 93, a group of dispensations come, Sherry and I was sharing some things. We was in a big denominational church, and we were studying the Bible, and they were showing some things about the Word of God. Just contrast. The Word of God does not have any contradictions in it. Okay? Just get that out of your mind right now. There's contrast. Opposite. And they started sharing some things about Israel. And God's program for the nation Israel on earth. And God's program for the body of Christ in heavenly places. And that got us thinking, got us studying, didn't it, Sherry?
Sure did.
And thinking, whoa. Something is to this. And we go back to the leaders of the church, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. They acted like it was no big deal. And that's what God, that's what people does when they study the Word of God, that they study it all together for you and to you, and they come to Apostle Paul, and they just want to skip over him and go right over to Revelation and stuff. But God's design is not that way. So we had to make a decision in our life that God was right, we was wrong. And it upset a lot of our family members. It really did. But we still had to be right for God. You know, and we moved in Ohio. And we came up here to help start a church. Committed 2 years, and that's 21 years ago. Oh, maybe we can't count, honey. But the thing is, we wanted to be right for God. And I think that was probably one of the best decisions we ever made spiritually as a family even. I know some of our kids didn't get to grow up around their cousins down home and their grandparents and their grandfathers and all that stuff. And cousins upon cousins. And sometimes, you know, they don't even know who they are. But they can know who they are now. They, you know, Facebook and Ancestry.com and all that stuff. You can find out anybody. You can find out some things you don't want to know. But to make a long story short, you stay with the Word of God, guys. You study it. And it's hard. But some of you quarantined and haven't been out of the house since they told you not to even, you know, open a window. It's been a great time for you to sit down there and study the Word of God. And remember, Romans through Philemon for today, God's apostle, you have an apostle Paul for us, as Daniel and them had prophets and stuff that he uses. You got Romans through Philemon. If you just study those books right there, read 3 chapters a day. In 28 days, you'll read the whole Romans through Philemon, okay, and do it over and study. That's what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. He's forming a body of believers that he's going to put in the heavenly places. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And at the end, there's going to be a new heaven and earth. The governments are still there. And we go up there. And then what we're studying in Daniel is this prophetic program on earth for the nation Israel. So with that being said, once again, you can visit Dispensational Bible Church, ORG, if you want to donate to the ministry. I appreciate anything you wanted to give. It will go through some things that we're doing. If you got any questions or comments on what we've studied so far, please email me, text me, or message me. I want to say thank you for tuning in again and knowing that Jesus is Lord, and that if you're not saved today, today is the day of salvation. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We shall see you next week. Same time, same channel. Love you in the Lord.